America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Would Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? United States of America, looks like another silent night.
There's a powerful message in there, is there not? Will you be sleeping? Will you be sleeping? The whole message of the song is you're going to be sleeping and you're going to miss Christ. You're going to miss the very reason that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He came in this little manger. So many of us are just fast asleep doing our own thing. We're going to miss it altogether. The Bible tells us that the only way that we're going to be able to approach the kingdom of God is if we do it like a child. We have to have a childlike faith. In fact, he says if you don't have a childlike faith, you're going to miss it. You can't actually enter into the kingdom of God unless you have that childlike faith. And it made me think of Christmas morning. And how many of us can relate to this, that on the morning when the presents are going to get tore open and the children, do you have to go and wake the children up to let them know that, hey, it's time to, you know, time to open presents? You don't. They're not going to sleep through the opportunity to come and open these gifts. I've just never been in a moment, you know, where I've had to try and convince my child that, hey, it's going to be fun. You're going to enjoy this. You get to open presents. It's going to be great. And they just pull the covers over their head and like, no, I just want to sleep. No, it's the opposite, right? Because usually they're up, they're the first ones up, and they're tearing into your room and bouncing on your bed and telling you got to get up, and you're just looking for coffee, but you're going to get out there and you're gonna do it. It's exciting. In fact, I was thinking about it too, and I don't think I've ever actually had to convince any of my teenagers to get up on Christmas morning either. I mean, you want to talk about Christmas miracles. Oh. And here we have something so great. We have something so great. The Bible says that Jesus, he is the King of all kings, and that he is the Lord of all lords. And so I've titled my little talk tonight, The Gift of All Gifts. He is the gift, the greatest gift that all of this world has ever known, all of eternity has ever known, all of the cosmos have ever known. The greatest gift. And I don't want us, anyone here, my encouragement tonight is to not sleep through this gift, the opportunity to receive the greatest gift of Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life that he has for us. And I just want to talk, just briefly, I have 4 points tonight. They're only about 20 minutes apiece, so we'll be out of here pretty soon. It'll be brief. But I've done it. I've listed this in the acronym of the word gift. And there's a little place in your bulletin if you want to write in this acronym as I go along. But I want to talk about the essence of this gift. And I've kind of captured it with these 4 points. And the G is the idea of God's grace. We want to talk about the essence of the gift of eternal life. We've got to talk about grace. Now, grace at its most basic definition is love. But it's actually more specific than that. It's actually this idea of getting something that we don't deserve. And this runs contrary to the world in which we live in. We live in a world that says you get what you deserve. Now, how many of you have ever been called in to your boss's office and they sit you down and they just say, well, you know, you really have been underperforming lately. You've had just a horrible year. You've been slacking. I don't like your work ethic, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a raise and promote you. It doesn't happen. No, the only way to get that raise and that promotion is by setting yourself aside and apart and making yourself stand out and almost overachieving. And that's when they take notice of you and you get what you deserve, and they're going to reward you for those efforts. That's the world in which we live in. If you ever talk to somebody up at the top, you know, who've made to the corporate world and a CEO or something, and if you ask them, how did you get here? You know, most of the time they don't say, I didn't really do anything to get here. In fact, people just kind of graciously promoted me up through the ranks, and you know, I don't know, I just kind of fell into this place. You never hear them say that. If anything, they'll look back and they'll say, well, it was a lot of hard work, and I did this, and I sacrificed my family, and I gave up weekends, and I had tireless nights and endless hours, and I did this and this and achieved this and this, and they give you this whole portfolio of all the successes and achievements, and that's how come they got to where they are today, because they earned it, because they deserved it. That's the world in which we live. So this concept of grace flies in the face of the world in which we live, and it's hard for us to understand that we get to receive something that we actually do not deserve whatsoever, and that is the love of God. And so if we're going to understand the greatest gift that's been ever given that comes through Jesus Christ, we got to know that we're recipients of His grace and of His love. The I is for identity. John tells us that how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. When we receive and respond to the greatest gift that is offered to us in Jesus Christ, we actually are brought into God's family. We're adopted into His family. We become His children. We become sons and daughters of the King. We no longer have to find our identity in the way that the world generally defines our identity, and that's usually in careers. We define ourselves and identify ourselves by the things that we do, the vocations that we have, the occupations we carry out, or we identify ourselves from the families that we came from. We'll identify ourselves by our hobbies, by our achievements, by the amount of money in our bank, by the kind of car that we drive, by the clothes that we wear. This is how the world loves to identify us, and how we fall into that trap and identifying ourselves with all of these areas that are only temporary. They'll all come to an end. It doesn't matter how much money we have in our bank. We can't take that with us. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes we're wearing. You're not taking that with you. But our identity in Christ, He gives us an identity as His child, and He gives us an identity that's eternal in Him. And it never fades. It'll never perish. It'll never go away. We will always be His child. And along with an identity, He gives us a sense of purpose. And that's something that we miss outside of Christ. There's so many people who are just spinning on the proverbial hamster wheel. Every day they're waking up and they're giving it their all, and they just feel like they're giving so much energy, so much effort, but they're not going anywhere in their life. Feel like they're just spinning the wheel. But when Christ comes into our life and we receive the greatest gift in Christ, he gives us a purpose, an eternal purpose, a purpose that will outlast ourselves, a purpose with eternal implications, a purpose that He has ordained for us. The scriptures tell us that he gives us a kingdom assignment. And so the tasks that we do just throughout the day, those are just tasks we do, but there's something greater at stake here, and that's what the calling of God on our life, the direction He's given us, the reason He gives you to wake up every morning and to head out into the world. And this only comes through the gift of all gifts, the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. F is for forgiveness. The Bible teaches us that we have all fallen short of God's standard. None of us have reached that high standard, that mark of perfection that God's standard sets, holy standard. Every single one of us have missed that. And in God's economy, in God's kingdom, we've broken His law. When you break His law and it's an offense against Him, it's what the Bible calls a sin. And the very definition and understanding of sin means to miss the mark. Miss the mark. It was the idea, the picture of an archer shooting an arrow at a bullseye. And he missed it completely. And the mark that we miss is God's perfect standard. And I was thinking about a great miss in my life, and maybe you can identify, or maybe you can't. I remember the first time I took a shot at a deer. I'd been drawn for a whitetail tag up around Republic, North Central Washington, and we jumped this deer on a logging road, and I got all excited, you know, and the deer was kind of running, and then I was kind of running too to get in position, and then she stopped, and I took a shot, and I was shaking. As you know, I had buck fever, and all I had was a doe tag. It wasn't even a buck, you know. I missed it completely. Completely. I got one 2 days later, by the way. That's a side note, but missed that one. Oh, and you know, and that's just what it's like with sinning. We miss the mark. We miss it. And then even in today's world where we have laws, and if you break a law and there's an offense, there's a penalty that has to be paid. If I'm driving down the road and I'm speeding, and all of a sudden I get pulled over, guess what? I've broken the law, and there's a price to pay for that. So the officer comes up to me, and he's going to give me a ticket, unless I can talk him out of it. If I start crying or something, you know, maybe I could get out of the ticket. Nah, I'd rather take the ticket. But there's a price to pay. And so it is in God's world, in God's kingdom. When there's an offense and when his law has been broken, there's a penalty for that. The scripture teaches that the wages of sin is death. Death is the penalty. So the good news here is that Jesus came 2,000 years ago in a little manger, and we talked about this, that he grew up and he lived on mission because he came to be a Savior, a Messiah. And the only way he was going to do that was by living a sinless, perfect life and dying a sinner's death. And so he allowed himself to go to the cross. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. He gave up his life and died to pay the penalty that I deserve to pay and that you deserve to pay. But he took our spot for us so that on the cross, through his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, that we could have forgiveness for our sins. And he paid the penalty, and we don't have to pay that penalty. This is good news, friends. This is good news. Is that I don't want to pay that penalty. I'm eternally grateful that he took my spot. Took my spot. Last letter, T. T is for transformation. Transformation. There's a common misconception. That people think that before they can come to Christ or come to church, which, side note, that's two different things, but come to Christ, they think that they have to have their life in order. They think that they have to have their ducks in a row, that they have to have obtained a certain level of righteousness. They've had to have things figured out, and they got to kick this bad habit and get rid of that bad habit before they can come to Christ. That is a blasphemous lie. That is absolute deception. Because Christ calls us and beckons us as we are. As we are, in our failures, in our filth, right? In our weakness, as we are, he says, you come, you come. He has offered and presented the gift. I mean, on Christmas morning, you think about, do we put qualifications on the gifts that we give to our children? Like, well, you can only have this if you've done this and this and this and this. I mean, maybe some of you do, but, you know. But okay, that illustration falls flat. But Jesus doesn't do that. There's no qualifications in that sense, other than to come into him to receive the gift. Receive the gift. The beauty of it is that even though we come as we are, his love is so great for us that he refuses to leave us as we are. And the scriptures teach that when we respond and we receive this gift of eternal life, the gift of Jesus Christ, it says that his presence comes to take up residency within us. His Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us, and he begins this transformation process within us, creating in us to the glorious image of the Son, Jesus Christ. One of the best illustrations that I ever heard anybody give. It's so visual for me and just practical, and it made sense to me. I said, if you take a glass of water and you hold it in your hand and say it's just, you put in some dirty, nasty, mucky water, and you can't even, so dirty you can't even see through the glass, through the water. You can sit there and you can wait, and maybe some of that muckiness will settle down. And if you wait long enough, maybe all of it would settle, but it wouldn't take much just to stir it right back up. Kick it up and make that water all nasty looking again. But if you wanted to get rid of that nasty, murky water, you take that glass and you hold it underneath a faucet that's pouring out pure water into this murky water. Eventually, it pushes the murky water out of the glass. And if you leave it there long enough, it will have purged all of the murkiness and dirt out of that glass. And you will hold in your hand a glass of pure water. And that is what the Holy Spirit does to us. When we position ourselves underneath the living water, and then His Holy Spirit infills us and He works in our heart, purging us. Work out all of the filth, all of the nastiness, all of those bad habits we've been trying to kick. We can't do that in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. We can do that. So the essence of the greatest gift, friends, the greatest gift is that we get to experience God's grace. We get a new identity in Him. We get to receive His forgiveness. We get to experience His transforming power in our lives. And the encouragement tonight, as we heard from that song, and as what I'm encouraging you right now, is let us not be sleeping through the offer of the greatest gift ever, the gift of Jesus Christ. By faith in Him, we can receive eternal life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the greatest gift, the gift of all gifts. We thank You for all that You've offered to us. Lord, I just pray that there would be no one in here, Lord, who would let this Christmas season go by without responding. They wouldn't be sleeping through this opportunity, Lord. They wouldn't miss You. But they would say yes to You. Yes to Your salvation. Yes to Your eternal life. Yes to following after You. And we give You all the glory, Jesus. We pray this in Your name. Amen. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Would Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history? As a nation with no room for its king, will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? United States of America, looks like another silent night.